Blog Talk Radio.
Better than none in ring. That's why we're here to sing football. Sunday in the snow, referees whistle blows. Weekend warriors toe to toe. Football.
So old timers, do you remember the names like Bronco McGurkey and Night Train Lane, Bulldog Turner, my man Sam Huff? In the snow and the mud, they were still real tough. Crazy Leg Turk, and remember Raymond Berry asked me if they hit hard, and I'll say Ferry, Paul, Christian, Buddy, Young Lady Moore. It's them I adore, they seem to always score. Ed Sprinkle, defensive end for those years. Gene Big Daddy Liston was the man to fear. You have Steve Van Buren and Otto Graham. Johnny Unitas had the arm of a Superman. We had Charlie Trippi and Gino Marquette. If you're searching for a champion, they're your best bet. With Oscar quarterback like Johnny Lou Jack or even Sid Luckman, as a matter of fact.
Hey, 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 welcome to the CMT Firestorm Football Talk Show. We are live from the CMT Firestorm Studios in Tampa, Florida. I am your host, Crosso Mathis, where the theme of our show is to give raw, uncut, and unedited objective analysis on major college and pro football. Let me introduce the panel. First and foremost, Cali Mike, what's good?
What's going on, everybody?
All right, Tex, what's good?
What's going on, bud? Nick Saban's gone after this year.
All right, shut down, Mike. What's good?
Yeah, we'll see about it. It could be. Wouldn't be a surprise, but, hey, shut down, Mike, in the house. I hear is just talk, you know, about good old football talk and see what happens next.
All right. Well, it's been a slow week, obviously. It's bowl season in college football. But, you know, most of these games, I kind of think they're kind of not necessarily important until the BCS games, because those are the big-time teams, and those are the teams that are going to be in contention for the national championships for the future or whatnot. But I want to get into the main game, the national championship game. And I want to know, I don't know what the Vegas odds are right now, but
Sam.
It's 10, Alabama by 10?
Yeah, sure.
Well, basically, I want to know, if Notre Dame was to win this game, what should be their game plan? What do they need to do within the culpability of their team? Like, what can they do in order to win this game? Let me start with Tex. I want to see what your opinion on this is.
Well, on offense, the first thing they need to do is not turn the ball over. The quarterback can't turn the ball over. The running backs, the wide receivers can't fumble the ball. But the other main thing is trench play. Notre Dame's O-line can't get overpowered. They can't let Notre Dame create line of scrimmage half a yard and a half or a yard behind the original line of scrimmage. They have to control that. They need to be balanced. It's deception plays. It's okay to run. They need to make some plays in the passing game. You have to bring them Alabama safeties up. You can't. I mean, if you're playing Alabama and they only have to commit 7 to the run, then I mean it's an uphill battle. So 1, don't turn the ball over. 2, have to have top-notch trench play, and 3,
excuse me.
Huh. No, it's, I'm sorry, and 3, they have to have balance. And as for Alabama, they just have to control the line of scrimmage like they do most Saturdays. They can drive down the field or they can hit the big play. if Alabama, you want to get chunk yardage through the air, if you want to run the ball well and you want to get chunk yardage through the air with the guys they have at wide receiver.
Okay.
And you want to stay.
I'm sorry. Finish up.
I said you want. Said if you want to play, you want to keep whole gap integrity on defense because if Golston gets loose, then you know he can go all the way.
Okay. Well, yeah, I kind of agree with you. Obviously, first and foremost, you can't turn the ball over for Notre Dame. And what they're going to have to do is isolate Alabama to short plays. They can't let Amari Cooper, who I call Marquise Lee Jr., they can't let him go deep, you know, catch big plays, get touchdowns and whatnot. They have to short the field in terms of the passing game for Alabama. They have to do intermediate routes, let them do intermediate routes, short routes, and then when they catch the ball, tackle them because it seems like they have the blueprint for stopping the run. They have very good personnel to stop the run, even though this is they haven't faced a team like Alabama. But I think they can stop the run with Alabama, hold them to at least under 150 yards rushing. So I think it's what it basically boils down to. Minimize the deep play, make the passing game short, intermediate, and when they catch the ball, make sure they tackle them and don't let them gain for like a large amount of yards, large chunks of yards. And obviously restrict the turnovers. Callie, Mike, what's your opinion?
I think, like I said, I think Notre Dame should follow suit at what Texas can. I think that, with their quarterback style of play, you know, a similar style of play. I think you got to, like, you got to control Alabama's running game. You know, you can't let them run all over you. And then you got to force A.J. McCarron to make mistakes. You know, if you get him to throw a couple of picks. And, you know, it seems like they, that they had a problem, Well, they not really, but it seems like, to beat a team like Alabama, I don't think you can beat them. I think you gotta get ahead of them early. You know, it doesn't seem like they're gonna be the kind of team that, that's gonna let a team come back from, two touchdowns, 10 points, things like that. So I think that they're gonna have to, get ahead of them. And definitely don't let them set the pace of the game. Because, they have experience in this type of game. Chip Kelly, he's a blue-time coach, and you got to set the pace, get in the middle, stuff to run, he's not to play it hard out, he's not to tell everybody that, it wasn't all hype, a lot of it's going to come down on their defense, and the way they're blocking. It's going to be a rough and tough game, but, like I said, it's going to be an interesting game to see. I think that if Notre Dame plays good as everybody says they are, as good as they possibly have a chance. But, with Obama has, it's going to be tough to beat them.
And you have Notre Dame winning this game, right, Callie Mike?
I'll get Right before the game.
All right. Shottown, man. What's your take on this?
Yeah, well, Notre Dame definitely wants to play turnover-free football. I think, they have a chance because, Alabama, I just think they're a superior team than Notre Dame. But, if Notre Dame can keep it close, I got Alabama. I mean, they got a chance. But, like I said, I agree with Kelly Mike. If McCarron, makes mistakes and turnovers because Notre Dame does have a pretty good defense, then, hey, the sky's the limit, So I think the quarterback from Notre Dame, of course, I think he's capable, of having one of those games. It's going to be a big test for him, to show everybody because, since he wasn't the quarterback to be the starter, this year. So, hey, he got a lot on the line, too, to prove the doubters, hey, the chance to win a BCS national championship and bring home a title back to Notre Dame since they haven't won since the, the 80s. So that'd be something special. So it's a lot on the line. But they end the championship for a reason, and we hope to see a good game. Even though we all have our opinions of about how Notre Dame gets in with the BCS and all this other stuff, like we had the problem of the BCS, but they in it. They still undefeated, so we'll see what happens in a couple of weeks.
And I don't know if I remembered or not to say this. If anyone wants to call in, the number is 347-237-5539. We'd love for you to call in, give your opinion on whatever topic we've just been mentioning in regards to the national championship game. Now, I want to move slightly forward. Similar topic, we want to talk about Nick Saban. Do you think it's realistic that he's going to leave to go to the Cleveland Browns? And I want you to tell me why you think that's going to be the case. Tex, I'm going to start with you.
It's possible, but, you know, it has to be the team of the make. I mean, the makeup of the team has to be a certain way. The general manager has to be a certain person. Yeah, it's possible he could bolt to the NFL because he's getting – I mean, Saban is a grinder. He's he's a football diehard. I mean, you get 20 practice hours a week with the kids you have Alabama versus you do whatever you – I mean, you can take however much long you need to prepare – in the NFL, more so than you can in college. I'm just talking about how Saban goes about his business, how he gets ready, how he goes about getting his team ready. I mean, it just have to be the perfect situation for him. The team has to, has to be one of them old New England teams or whatever, or the, kind of how the Browns look back when Belichick was there. GM has to be correct, and the one thing is, it's a challenge. I mean, now it's not. There's no thrill at Alabama anymore. I mean, you're on the verge of winning your third title in 4 years. It might be time to move on. It might be time to conquer the next challenge. I mean, I could definitely see him leaving Alabama.
Well, I don't think he's going to do it this time around. I think he could do it in the future. But I think when he does it, he won't succeed. Not that he's a bad coach. A lot of people think that he was a bad coach when he was with the Dolphins. He was not a bad coach. The Dolphins, I remember, were 1-15 when Ricky Williams retired. Then they had Dave Wanstead. They fired him in the middle of the year. And then they had some interim coach, and then they hired Nick Saban from LSU. And then Nick Saban brought them to 9-7 the following year after they were 1-15. And then the following year they were 6-10, and then he left to go to Alabama. So he didn't have a bad, horrible NFL coaching career, which a lot of people think. He wasn't Steve Spurrier, let's just put it that way. Or he wasn't Pete Carroll with the New England Patriots. So I think, he's a very good coach. He can coach pretty well in the NFL. I just think from the personnel perspective, if you're an NFL coach, it's tough to be too much of an alpha male. You can't be an alpha male. You're going to have to negotiate to a degree with players in the NFL in comparison to college. And so based off of that right there, I don't think that he would sustain for longevity in the NFL. And that's my take on it. Shottown, what's your take on it?
Hey, just real quick, hold on, let me put this in real quick. Did you all know that Saban wanted Drew Brees to be the quarterback for the Dolphins? Y'all know that?
I saw that.
No, I didn't.
Yeah. I saw that the other day.
But, I mean, I don't think, even if Drew Brees would have went to Miami, I don't think they would have been as successful as if he had went to New Orleans. I don't think I think Sean Payton's more of a he's an alpha male too now, don't get me wrong, but he's more of you can negotiate with. I mean, you can Sean Payton gives his players leeway, you know what I mean? Like, he lets Brees call some plays. You know, he lets Brees have a little control, whereas Nick Saban, he's like an alpha male, man. You do as I say, or it's no way at all. You know, you can't do that. You can't have that mindset in the NFL because the players are grown. They're grown men. They can be just as intelligent as the coaches in some aspects. So I don't see Nick Saban doing well in the NFL. But I think he will try to do it. I just don't think he'll try to do it now, though. But some point in the future.
I say this though about Nick. Hey, go ahead. Go ahead, Tex. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, just go ahead, Mike.
I was gonna say Nick Saban to Cleveland Browns though. If he comes back, though, you know, I know they got a phone on the spell, but it might be some other teams out there better than Cleveland that could be some openings up. So I will hold off on Cleveland, even though he had ties to him. You never know; it could be some other opening that he might be interested in. You know, like a story franchise being able to cope. So, but I don't know, man. I mean, Pete Carroll. I didn't think Pete Carroll was going to have as much success coming back. You know, this time. You see, he had some success in Seattle. He got some success in Seattle right now. So I will hold that off, though. But if Saban leaves, I wouldn't be surprised. If he don't leave this year, he may leave next year.
Yeah, he'll be in the future, yeah. But look at Pete Carroll's more of you can tell he's a people's person. He's a player's coach. I mean, I'm pretty sure he gets on his players, but he's a player's coach. Whereas Nick Saban is not necessarily that type of guy, man. He's more of like a Tom Coughlin. I mean, he has rings and stuff like that. Tom Coughlin's more of a disciplinarian. Even though underlying, he kind of is somewhat of a player's guy. He can negotiate with the players. But Nick Saban's like, no, it's either my way or no way. So, what's your opinion on this, Cali Mike 4? We got a caller coming in here. What's your opinion?
Like I said, I think Nick Saban, I think he can go to the pros and do it. I mean, it's a natural progression nowadays. None of these coaches are going to, you know, You might find a couple. Maybe, you know, I think Urban Meyer might. I don't know if he's going to be a NFL kind of guy, because I know he's had the opportunities, but that just might be because of his health. But, you know, it's starting to become a natural progression for these guys to go to the pros now. And, you know, like I said, Nick Saban, you know, he can get in there. You know, he only spent 2 years in Miami. You know, they kind of regressed. I don't know, you know, like I said, I don't know what exactly. I think that has to do a lot with Miami's ownership, too. You know, they're having a lot of issues. And, you know, I don't know if Miami was really, you know, I don't know what was going on with them at that time. You know, I don't know if
they
really
didn't regress. I disagree. Yeah. They didn't regress. They didn't regress under Nick Saban. That's what I'm trying to get people to see. The Miami Dolphins did not regress under Nick Saban.
They got worse. They didn't do as well as they did the previous season. That's not true. Dude, they went from what, 9-7 to 6-10? That's not
okay. Really from that standpoint, yeah. Okay, I'm talking about from 1-15 to 9-7. That was a progression, in my opinion.
Okay,
and the Dolphins wanted
regress,
the Dolphins wanted to have him back. That's what a lot of people don't know. Wayne Huizenga wanted him back.
They regressed, though, right? They went from 9-7 to 6-10.
That one season they did regress.
So what are you talking about?
No, I'm talking about the second season they did regress in terms of the record. Yes.
That's what I'm saying. They regressed.
The second season.
He left.
But I just don't want people to think that he was a bad NFL coach. He was not a bad NFL coach.
He wasn't a bad coach, but, I mean, Pete Carroll wasn't a bad coach either.
He was a bad coach in New England. Pete Carroll was a bad coach in New England.
The Patriots made the playoffs 2 out of 3 years he was there. What are you talking about?
Really? I want to look that up. Okay, all right.
His worst season was 8-8.
Okay.
He still had Drew Bledsoe as his quarterback, though, too. So, you know,
most of that defense is playing for Bill Belichick. You keep telling people he wasn't a bad coach. They just made a change. Not that happens. But anything like that for Nick Saban, you know, I mean, I can definitely see him going. You know, I can definitely see him going pro. You know, it's like I said, it's a natural progression. You know, I think he's the kind of coach that, you know, He left something undone, and he wants to get back there and prove it, you know, prove that he can do it. You know, I mean, it wouldn't, you know. Yeah, I mean, you know, he's a competitor, you know, and he has unfinished business there. So, definitely, you know, shot. I think a lot of these guys are going to start, you know, shooting up to the pros, especially, you know, as there'll be a lot more coaching turnover. You know, it seems like there's going to be a lot of, you know, people calling for coaches at the end of this season, so. I could definitely see it happening. And it's happened before, it'll happen again.
All right. Let me get a caller in here. 813.
Yes.
813. Roger, what's good?
Hey, Closeville. What I'm doing is I'm writing an online article for Yahoo about controversies in college football, and it sounds like I have the experts here. So I solicited a couple suggestions from some friends, and so I want your panelists to tell me which of these controversies do they think are the most controversial and their opinions of them. And once I tell you what the suggestions are, I'll hang up and take notes. So I have here head concussion safety. Should college athletes be paid? Should the NCAA championship lose their exemption? Revamping of divisions.
What do you mean by lose their exemption?
Oh, maybe that's not one. I don't know. That's what someone told me. I guess that may not be that controversial then. I think it's probably their exemption from the federal government, that they have an antitrust exemption. Shady recruitment, lack of playoffs in college football, and college boosters' involvement with athletes, gift to players. So which of those do they think is a really big controversy? Head concussion safety, should college athletes be paid? Should the NCAA lose their antitrust exemption? Revamping of division, bad officiating, and shady recruitment, lack of playoffs. And then I'll hang up and take notes.
Okay. All right, thank you. I mean, obviously the natural one is should college athletes get paid? That's one that I obviously think they should. Another thing we won't be on this too long. Another thing is should players be allowed to enter into the draft right out of high school? I think they should be allowed to do that. I think players should be allowed to do that. I don't think they'll be successful, but I think it's unconstitutional to prevent someone from restricting someone's choice to pursue their happiness. You know, you force them to go to college if they don't want to go to college. I don't see what the point of doing that. Y'all got any comments on that?
No.
Who was that, Tex?
I think that the shift in the conference is going to be a major change in college football. I think when you look at it, now that, you know, these conferences are starting to, you know, basically, you know, try to assemble super conferences, I think it's going to change the face of, you know, for college football and how the game's been played for basically the last, you know, since it's been, you know, half a year since it's been, you know, since it's been getting done. I mean, you're going to have, you know, super conferences with maybe, you know, 17, 18 teams now. And, you know, basically, you know, it seems like you're going to have, it's driven by, you know, by revenue. And, you know, I think that's, you know, for college football. And it's just, you know, a lot of different teams leaving all at once. And, you know, it's just weird. It's just happening so fast. I mean, conferences have changed before, but now it just seems like, you know, it's, you know, within the last, you know, 2 or 3 years, you know, we've had so many different changes. It's just, you know, it's like, when is it going to stop, you know? So, it's, you know, you're going to see conferences here and, you know, maybe, you know, new conferences reemerge. So it's going to definitely change the landscape of college football.
Yeah. Scandalous recruiting. I mean, I don't know. That doesn't really seem too controversial. I mean, it's not like nobody really doesn't know about it or anything like that. But I mean, you should do college athletes should be paid. Bad officiating. I know he mentioned bad officiating and shady recruitment. I mean, that's not really too controversial right there. So I would suggest Roderick college athletes get paid. Okay, I think everybody wants to move on here. So I want to piggyback off this Nick Saban thing. So do you think he's going to leave Cali, Mike?
I mean, I think it's very, you know, like I say, it's very likely. You know, it's a natural progression of what he's going to, you know, he's trying to do. And you know, it seems like if he wants to, you know, prove himself. I mean, you look at coaching, college coaching, there's some coaches that stayed, you know, guys like Bear Bryant and, you know, other cats like that. But then you look at most of the other coaches, they, you know, they went to go try the pros, you know, John Robinson from SC, you know, different guys. I mean, different guys who, you know, maybe, you know, guys like, guys like at Ohio State and Michigan, they stayed around those schools. But, you know, for the most part, these, you know, these colleges are both Bolton, Barry Switzer, going pro. And, you know, it just seems like it's a natural progression, you know. So, especially, now it just doesn't seem. I just really, like I said, besides maybe a guy like Urban Meyer, I can't see a coach staying in college, you know, especially when he's running, you know, especially, like I say, when he runs anything near a pro-style offense. Now, okay. If you're an option kind of guy, I can kind of see you sticking around. You know, that's why I kind of flip-flop back and forth with Chip Kelly. But, you know, like I said, if you're a pro-style guy, I mean, you know, the pros are going to be, you know, they're going to be calling for you, you know, and Nick Saban, you know, he can run, he can run that type of offense. So, you know, I don't see why he would stay in college.
Now, I can see a Chip Kelly going to the league after this year because, like, now, I don't know, the way the NFL is going, you see a lot of these spread offenses. They want a guy that can drop back and throw the ball, and they want a guy that can operate that spread offense like a Russell Wilson, a Cam Newton, and a RG3. That's the way I tend to see the leagues starting to go. So I would see Chip Kelly, you know, being tailored right now to an NFL offense. Now, is he going to succeed? I don't know about that. I don't know too many. I mean, do I know any college coaches that were extremely successful in the league outside of Jimmy Johnson? Can you name any? Pete Carroll. I can't name him any other ones.
Hey, Switzer won a Super Bowl.
He's doing okay.
I mean, come on, that don't count. That Barry Switzer don't count. I mean, whatever. That doesn't count, man. Come on.
Switzer was okay.
I mean, that don't count, man. He inherited a dynasty, man. I'm talking about post Jimmy Johnson. You know, I mean, you can't say Bill. I'm talking about post Jimmy Johnson. Has there been anybody from college that's really succeeded in the league? I mean, Steve Spurrier flopped. Butch Davis flopped, even though he went to the playoff once or twice. I mean, it's not Dennis Erickson flopped. So, I mean, I don't know.
We'll see. You know, you're looking at coaches who. I mean, these are all new coaches that came recently were pretty much new to the NFL. I mean, you look at coaching in general, all these coaches are going to have basis of being college coaches at some point in their careers, you know, but it's tough for any new coach to come in and, you know, and immediately start finding success. You know, these coaches, you know, Bill Belichick been around since, you know, you might just have first started hearing about him recently, but he's been around since the 80s, you know. And, you know, it's most of these coaches, like I say, that are successful without really going the college route, they came up under, a good head coach, you know, and they were part of a good head coaching program, and they were there for a couple of years, and, you know, in the NFL, you know, with Belichick being under Parcells, and, you know, but most of these other guys, they've had, you know, starts in colleges, you know, I don't know, like I said, it might not have been their first stop, you know, in the NFL to become successful, but, you know, most of them, you know, they were at college at some point, you know.
I mean, I'm talking about head coaches, though. They were really head coaches in a college program. I mean, the guy from Indianapolis, I think he was the head coach he got fired, but he was the head coach at Wake Forest. You know what I'm talking about? What's the guy? Jim Caldwell, I think it is. But anyway, so, I mean, basically, I guess my question, let me tell you the question. Chip Kelly goes to the NFL. Will he be successful? Can he win a Super Bowl? Can you see him winning a Super Bowl? Let me say, ask Tex.
I mean, he can't. I mean, I don't know if that's a fair question. I mean, I don't know if he's an A-plus NFL coach. I believe you need an A-plus NFL coach and you need an A-plus quarterback to win a Super Bowl. We don't necessarily know if Kelly is that. Do I think he can coach in the NFL? Yeah. But he has to be a fit. You know, so these pieces have to fit. You know, just like players, just like GMs, coaches. I mean, it has to be a fit. You got to have a bunch of different things working at the same time. You can't just, you know, you can't bring Chip Kelly in and be like, oh, okay, this is what we're going to do. It has to be a fit. I mean, where is Chip Kelly going to coach in the NFL besides somewhere like Carolina? Where else is he going to coach and probably have success? You see what I'm saying?
I mean, he can switch around maybe Cleveland a little bit, you know. Turn them into a spread offense.
But that's not – but and this is the thing. Everybody wants to go to a spread offense, but we'll see how long this lasts because these old linemen, I mean, the play of the offensive line is in sharp decline. Why? Because everybody's running this spread. Nobody's teaching fundamentals. Nobody's teaching these guys how to block and do things. So this we'll see where this spread goes. This is going to get these quarterbacks killed. You know, you already seen Robert Griffin go down for a couple of games. We'll see how far this spread offense. I think it's a pretty good offense. I think it's effective. But again, O-line play is suffering, and the spread offense is one of the reasons why.
That's true. I mean, I don't see it going away. I don't see it going away anytime soon. I don't know. I mean, I don't see it. I see it growing and growing until where like most of the teams are playing. They are using it now. So
the Clausel is still a pocket league.
Oh yeah. That's what I'm saying. They want the it's going to be a pocket league. Don't get me wrong. You're right about that. But they want to do the spread and the pocket. That's what they want out of their quarterbacks now. They want somebody that's going to, you know, be a pocket passer and be a spread option quarterback. That's what they want now.
I mean, some teams are looking for that. All teams are looking for that. I mean,
all teams right now.
Like
not,
I said,
yeah,
ideally, you would want everybody would want a quarterback who can do that. I mean, that's not going to be every guy who can do that. You know, it's not, you know, anybody.
It's quite a few. It's a few of them now, man. It's a few of them in the league right now that can do it.
I mean, they're not going to be successful, though. I mean, there's only going to be a couple, you know, a couple guys who can pass and run for 1,000 yards and pass proficiently. That's not going to be, I can't see that becoming, you know, it can, people can try. I mean, they're going to try, but it's, you know, it's trying and doing are two different things, you know.
If that was the case, you would
see it influence the draft a lot more. I mean, you're seeing more athletic guys, but you know these guys are, you know, like I said, besides RG3 and Cam Newton, who's in the league doing what they're doing right now.
Russell Wilson
ain't a running quarterback, man.
He's not a running quarterback. I mean, he's not running like RG3, but he can run. Oh my God!
I mean,
okay,
anybody can. Like I said, it's ideal to have an RG3, but it's a difference between having one. That's what I'm saying.
You can
want that, you know, which leads me to another point that I'm gonna make later about Geno Smith. But you know, like I said, you can want that, but it's totally different between wanting and getting.
All right.
I don't know.
Well, okay, yeah, since it's kind of slow with college, we're going to go into the NFL coverage a little early. And we want to get into your Geno Smith. Like, I mean, yeah, we can transition to the NFL right there. Like, no. There's one more. We'll talk about the NFL. Like, who right now are your top three NFL draft prospects? If you can name any off the top of your head, like who do you think right now are the top three players that are on the draft board, regardless of what team they go to? Who are the top three in your opinion? I want to start with let me start with you, Cali Mike.
Well, you know, like I said about Geno Smith, most of the mock drafts I've seen everywhere have him going as number one, and they're throwing out comparisons between him and RG3, and I can't see anything further from the difference between these two guys besides they're both black and they both played in the Big 12. I mean, to me, you look at RG3, he's a much better athlete than Geno Smith, much faster, much more, you know, he's a better all. You look at, like I said, you look at Geno Smith, he had a good season. But you look at what he did against the top, you know, when they finally started playing some of the top teams in the Big 12, he wasn't that good, you know. And basically, you take away that game that he had against Baylor, and you know, you're pretty much looking at a more regular looking season, you know, when you take away, you know, 800 yards and 10 touchdowns or whatever he did in that game, you know. And it's not, you know, the comparisons, like I say, you know, people, sometimes we get, you know, we get a little bit hyped up on this thing. Like I say, you might want Geno Smith to be RG3 and imagine that he's going to get in the league and do this, but it's not really, you know, it's not really a viable option. And then, you know, like I say, when you look at RG3, he's doing good, but look, he's already been, you know, hit with his first injury right now. And, you know, like I said, hopefully he recovers from it, you know, and continues his career, but who's to say? I mean, it's you know, it's hard to do unless you're built like a Cam Newton, who's built like a, you know, like a small defensive lineman, you know, to take them kind of hits. It's hard, you know, it's hard to do that in the NFL when you got guys 300 pounds and, you know, and hitting you that's just as fast as you, you know. But like I say, I got but anyway, with the top three, I got Jarvis Jones. I think that he's going to be a major playmaker. You know, he has a lot of size and speed coming off the end. I got a Star Latui out of Utah. He's a big nose tackle, big space filler, pretty athletic for his size. And I don't know, that third spot, I don't know, it's difficult. Like I say, I could probably judge that spot better after the Senior Bowl because it's probably going to have to be a quarterback, and I probably would have to pick out of Geno Smith and Matt Barkley, but I really don't know right now. Like I said, I haven't seen, you know, Geno Smith had by far the better season, but, you know, I haven't seen what he can do against, well, you know, I have seen what he can do against real good competition, and it didn't look good. So maybe in a game like the Senior Bowl, I think, you know, somebody like him could really help himself, at least in my eyes, you know, without, you know, trying to make him be an RG3 clone. And also, you know, I got to see, you know, if Matt Barkley can come back from an injury and, you know, still be the same kind of quarterback I think he can be, which is, a successful, you know, NFL quarterback. So, you know, but right now, like I say, you know, it's going to be a defense-heavy draft, in my opinion. You know, there's a lot of defensive guys coming out, a lot of underclassmen. You know, like I said, it's going to be interesting. You know, and even with the quarterbacks, you know, we're still going to have to look at guys like Aaron Murray and Tyler Bray and see what they're going to do. So, you know, it's going to, maybe within the next, you know, 2 or 3 weeks, we're going to start seeing the guys file the paperwork to get, you know, to get their, you know, see what their, you know, their, what is it, the draft, draft prospects or whatever, and, you know, we'll get a clearer picture of it.
Okay. Well, let me say mine right here. Like, I don't think they're going to compare Geno Smith to RG3. I think Geno Smith, I don't know why. I think he's more of like a pocket passer kind of a guy. I mean, he ran a spread. But Geno is a little bit more of a pocket passer. I mean, RG3 is a good pocket passer, but he, you know, he runs. He does that option type of stuff, whereas I don't see Geno Smith necessarily doing that. He seems like he's the kind of a guy that likes to sling it 40, 30, 40 times a game. That's more of a Geno, whereas RG3, you know, he's very efficient, the 20 to 25 passes a game. That's the vibe that I get. So, but I don't think he's – I mean, I would draft him high, but
well,
let me ask you
this question: what's the difference?
Okay.
What's the difference between Geno Smith and some of these other quarterbacks that we've seen come out of the Big 12, like Cliff Kingsbury and dudes like that, Taylor Potts, who've thrown for 5,000 yards and 40 touchdowns? What, in your opinion, what's the major difference?
I mean, I think Geno Smith. I mean, he has more impressive stats.
Nah,
I don't really see much of a difference.
Dudes,
I don't see much of a difference.
Out of Texas Tech, they used to throw for 5,000 yards.
I know what he's talking about. Yeah, I know he's talking about. It's just Geno Smith. He just seems like he's a little bit more. He has better touchdown interception ratio. You know, it's just I kind of feel like he's a little bit. He may be a little bit bigger, more prototypical. So I mean, that's just mainly the difference right there. But in terms of production, I mean, they may be equal in terms of yards and stuff like that, but it just seems like Geno Smith sort of jumps out the screen.
Well,
whereas
these
guys,
if there was no RG3, do you think that Geno Smith would be getting half the attention he's getting right now?
No. Obviously, I mean, Cam Newton was the first one to start all that. You know, to show a better light of black quarterbacks when Cam came in there and did pretty well. That paved the way for RG3, which is paving the way for someone like a Geno Smith, you know, or I paved the way for RG3 and a Russell Wilson, which is going to pave the way for a Geno Smith. So, yeah, you're right. If there was no RG3, there would be no Geno Smith drafted as high. I'll give you that. But let me say mine. Well, yeah, I would take a chance on Geno Smith. I would take a chance on the corner from Alabama, D. Milner. That's my number two. And then the guy from Utah.
Number two in the draft?
I would put him at number three. He's not gonna. I would draft him at number three or number four in the draft. D. Milner, yes. Excuse me.
What?
Yes, I would.
Top five. You think? Come on, Claudio. Come on.
Oh yeah,
Claudio.
I think he's a top five pick. Oh yeah, oh yeah. He's like he's not okay. Hold on. Hey, text. Let me finish. Let me say my point. I mean, let me say my point here, okay? I know you're like he's diehard over Alabama, but let me say my point here, okay? He jumps out the screen. What I'm saying is he jumps out the screen. He's better. Like, what I'm saying is he was better than Kirkpatrick was last year, and Kirkpatrick was a first-round pick, okay?
He was a first-round pick, but I think he was highly overrated, too.
As a cover guy, yeah. I'll give you Kirkpatrick is overrated as a cover guy, yeah. Yeah, I mean, as a physical corner, Kirkpatrick is pretty good. But what I'm saying is with Milner.
Kirkpatrick ain't no Patrick Peterson.
Well, no, of course not. I'm not saying that. That's not what I'm saying. He's not Patrick Peterson. No, he's not. And Milner's not necessarily Patrick Peterson, but he's slightly a little closer, though. That's what I'm saying. He's in that realm. He can.
I don't even think Milner is Maurice Claiborne, man.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah,
exactly.
I think he is. That's where I disagree with you. I think he's just as good, if not a little bit better, than Maurice Claiborne. That's where I disagree with you.
Hey, you'll find people, a lot of people that know some stuff will say that they think Claiborne will end up better than Peterson. So how is Milner top?
No, he's not. Claiborne's not going to end up being better than Peterson. I don't see that. I don't see that.
It's possible.
I don't see it. But this is the point I'm making. He's a physical corner and he can cover pretty well. Okay, he has both combinations. Claiborne is not a physical corner. Patrick Peterson is pretty good. I'll give you that. He's a physical guy and he's a cover corner. I don't think Milner is going to be as good as Patrick Peterson, but I think he's slightly below Patrick Peterson. I think Milner is. So I would take him in the top four of the draft. I mean, he's not going to be Deion, obviously. He's not going to be Deion, but I take him in the top four of the draft. I would take Milner, yes. He jumps out the screen when you see him play.
When he's in the game, man, let's name a game where he's done this.
Who? You talking about Milner?
Yes.
Where has he done this?
Milner in the top five yet.
He's number nine. He's number nine on Walter Camp right now. That's the thing. I think he should be in the top five. That's my personal opinion.
Me and Tex already disbanded that website earlier because they say Johnny Manziel is going to be the number three pick in next year's draft, which is a joke. Yeah, I know you saw that too.
So I didn't see that. Hold on. I didn't even get Tex's opinion. Tex, what's your opinion? What's your top three?
Well, D. Milner is not in it.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Because he's with Alabama, just because he's not that good. I mean,
he's not that good? Are you kidding me? Okay, all right, I don't even want to go there, man. All right, yes, okay.
My top three is, and I've seen different mocks. I've seen different top tens. I saw a top ten today that had Luke Jokel at the top of it. You understand what I'm saying? Jarvis Jones. Tell you what, man, he's real quiet. He's gonna be a hell of a player. Is Bjorn Werner. And DeMontre Moore is rising. Mingo and Moore are rising. So, not no Milner.
Who are either one of them projecting as? Are they projecting as defensive ends or outside linebacker?
Who?
Mingo and Moore.
Mingo probably outside linebacker, probably Moore too.
See, I would take Mingo or Moore over Jeff.
Right,
I take Mingo or Moore over Jarvis Jones. I just think Jarvis Jones, I mean, he looks the part, obviously. He's the prototypical guy. But in terms of, like, when I watched him in the SEC championship game, I'm like, you know, he was kind of quiet a little bit. I mean, he didn't really jump out the screen. That's my litmus test right there. Do you jump out the screen when I see you play? Milner jumps out the screen when I see him play. The guy from Utah, he jumps out the screen when I see him play. Okay, Geno Smith, he jumps out the screen when I see him play. You know,
well,
I mean Marquise Lee, he jumps out the screen.
Mingo only had 3 sacks this season, I believe. Jarvis Jones had, what, 14 or 15?
Yeah, 22 and a half tackles for loss.
No?
I mean, honestly, I kind of thought Mingo and Montgomery kind of underachieved this year. I mean, everybody was expecting them to be, you know, the best bookends in recent history in college football. And hey, you know, I kind of see them as kind of underachieved. I mean, they're physical. You know, they're both got the physical aspect, but you know, like I say, sack. You know, they weren't putting up, you know, the big numbers like everybody thought they were going to.
Who year? They both juniors. I mean, Moore and Mingo juniors.
I think they're juniors. Shot time. We got a caller coming in. You got your top three?
I'm starting to look into it. Now I ain't really been following the top three, but Jarvis Jones. But I've been hearing a lot of hype about him. Some people have him being the best player, but I see him as number 5 on ESPN Scouts 8 top 32. They got that guy Mikey was talking about, Star Lugatui, that guy from Utah. They got him as number 1 right now on the Scout 8 top 32, and Moore number 2. Mingo, they got him at number 6, and Jones number 5.
Hey, let me ask you a question, Carville. What do you think about DJ Fluker?
DJ Fluker, I don't really watch him too much, man. From you talking about, I don't watch him too much.
I think he's overrated, man. So I've seen some drafts have him going in top 10, and from the size that he has, and I heard about him when he first came out of high school, and I don't think he's, you know, performed, especially, you know, since he's not even playing left tackle for them. He's an easy guy's right tackle, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think he's really performed, you know, to be a top 10 pick, like, you know, like people have him. I mean, size-wise.
I didn't know he was going to be a top 10 pick. I didn't even know he was coming out.
Oh, yeah, they have Maya. Yeah, I think him and, that's what I read, him and Lacey are both coming out.
Lacey's coming out? No, Lacey may come out. I don't think he's coming out, though. But, I mean, he's not going to be a
top running back taken.
No, he's not going to be a top running back taken. I mean, he may be early second round. Who would I pick over, Lacey?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not a big Lacey guy, man. I can't think of who I'd pick over him, but I'm just not a big on him in the pros. He's injury prone, man. I mean, I'd take him in the early second round. I'm not big on him for NFL. I think he should just stay in college and, you know, focus on establishing his college legacy. I mean, if he goes to the league, he'll have a short NFL career. He's really physical. He likes to try to run over people. And, you know,
he
I don't think that's going
to go to NFL instead of waiting around in college to get injured.
I mean, I understand what you're saying, but he ain't like Adrian Peterson, Earl Campbell kind of a dude, or even Trent Richardson, you know, where he can do that for a long period of time without, you know, getting hurt. I think he can't even do that for 1 to 2 years, whereas, you know, somebody like Adrian Peterson or Trent Richardson, they can be like Earl Campbell trying to run over people for maybe a good 4 or 5 years, you know, whereas Lacey, I don't think he can do that.
Adrian Peterson has had his share of injuries. Now, remember, he was injured in college, and he just now came off a major injury.
I guess.
Yeah, that's why he didn't go number one.
I don't know. Hold on, let's see what the caller has to say. James, 850.
D. Milner ain't no top 5 pick, man. What you talking about?
Come on, man. Yes, he is, though. Okay, all right.
Man, I don't remember any games where he was jumping out the screen making plays.
I don't even see how he's All-American. Honestly, I'm not even trying to hate. I don't even see how he's All-American.
I don't know. He was jumping out of screens in the games I was watching. Did you see the game in the SEC championship game?
I mean, maybe I didn't watch the games you are, but tell me which game if I can go back and look at the tape. Which one?
The SEC championship game? I mean, really, on top of that, really, the game against Michigan, the game in the SEC championship game.
You mean against
Denard
Robinson?
But a lot of times, I
should have jumped out the screen playing against Denard Robinson if he's the quarterback.
But he did pretty well in the SEC championship game, too. But hold on. And what I want to say is this. To his credit, a lot of people didn't really even try to throw over there on his side, you know, because they were kind of fearing him.
He only had two interceptions the whole year.
Because nobody would throw on his side, man. Are you kidding? Nobody would throw on his side. He would shut down one half of the field. All right, but anyway, I want to hear what you got to say, James.
Top three, I got, Geno Smith pretty much going to the Chiefs. And following him is Jarvis Jones. And then what I'm saying is, like, Kieran Warner's going to be the third pick for the Raiders. But if the Raiders get the third pick, I really don't know what they're going to do. That franchise is, like, pretty much up in the air. I think they're going to trade that pick.
Yeah, they still got Terrell Pryor. I think I got a text. I think Tex had told me that, yeah, Terrell Pryor came in the game this past Sunday.
Did he show anything?
I seen him in the preseason. He looked good, man. I mean, I wouldn't draft. I mean, you got to figure. You know, the Raiders took a third round, you know, a supplemental pick for him. So I would at least give him a chance before he draft. You know, before he tried to draft a quarterback. Like I said, I think they got defensive means. You know, I think they got defensive needs to get to get answered before that. I can see them taking a Scarlett Tulia at number three. You know, if they get number three pick.
I got a question for this for you all. You all think Geno Smith is going to go top five, top three in the draft? As of right now.
No, I don't think. He
I mean, it's so
to
many. Like
three.
I say, there's so many. You know, everybody's saying KC's going to get the number one pick, and you know, every mock draft has him going to them. Most of the vast majority of them, and like I said, they're all throwing that RG3 comparison out there, and I just don't see it.
Takes one team, you know. That's all it takes is one team for anybody.
Yeah.
Well, Manti Te'o. I think Manti Te'o will be drafted pretty high, too. Y'all don't agree with me there?
On the ESPN scout, they got.
I mean, if you have a team that has a need for him, I mean, yeah, you could definitely be there.
No, I think he's going in the top 10. No. There's going to be a team in the top 10 that'll draft him. I think. Do you think he'll be a good. You think he's the next Ray Lewis?
No, I mean that's saying the next. Come on, man. That's saying the next best linebacker in the league. I mean, come on.
All right, what about the next? You think he's the next Junior Seau?
No. Once again, that's saying that, you know, one of the next best linebackers of all time, man. You gotta.
Yeah, that's
what
people are saying. They say I think he's gonna be a pretty good player. I think he's gonna be a pretty good NFL player. I take him in the top 10.
Of course, comparing to Junior Seau because he's Samoan and you know and all that, but you know, like I said, that's you know. I think he's going to be good, too, but I ain't ready to compare nobody to all-time players now.
Okay.
You know,
all right.
Kind of in the stretch.
Hey, I'm not taking a one-dimensional middle linebacker in the top 10. All right?
What do you mean by one-dimensional? You can just only stop the run? Is that what you're saying?
How many picks did he have against Michigan?
I don't know, man.
Eight?
I didn't even watch the game. But he had seven picks, though.
Yeah, seven picks. I didn't know he had that many this season.
Yeah, seven picks. I think he's a pretty good player. Somebody's gonna draft him in the top 10. You know,
I'm not saying he's a bad player, but watch him versus Alabama.
I mean,
yeah,
I think he'll play pretty good against Alabama. Yeah, we'll see. I think he'll be a pretty good player in the NFL. I think he'll be a perennial All Star. Let's just put it that way. He'll be a perennial Pro Bowler in the NFL. I mean, I think so. I think he will be.
I was gonna say the scout ain't got Geno Smith ranked 23 on their page right now.
That's more like it.
All right, let's. All right, I'm gonna put you back on hold here for a second, James. We're gonna go to the next topic here. I want to talk about controversial topic this week with Rob Parker and Robert Griffin III. I kind of want to know what your Yeah, we're in NFL now. Yeah, and I want to. The first question is going to be a multi-question topic here, and I guess my question is: do you think Rob Parker was out of line for making those statements. Let me ask. Let me start with you, Tex. What do you think?
You know, it's funny. I mean, why? I'm like, what context are you talking about? Was he out of line? Are you asking? Was it the right time? Was it the right forum? Was it just inappropriate because it was on ESPN?
No. Meaning, like, out of what he said, yeah. Forget like the forum he was on or whatnot. Like what he said. Like, is he a brother? Or is he a cornball brother? I've heard about him. What is it? His fiance, and you know, him being a Republican, things like that. Were those comments out of line, or was it legitimate questions that Parker had? I mean, were they legitimate? Was he legitimate for posing those questions?
Well, I mean, he was he never called him anything. He was just, he's just echoing what you're going to hear on the outside. I don't think RG3 is a sellout, but it's funny how everybody else's blackness can be in question, but RG3's can't. Now, again, I don't think RG3 is a sellout, and another thing is I've never heard the term cornball. I mean, that was a first for me. I've never heard that. You heard that before?
Never.
I mean, it's funny, but I haven't heard that. You understand? I haven't heard. I mean, a guy's either a sellout or a Tom or something. I've never heard brother being called a cornball. Hello?
I agree.
I think ESPN, as long as you know, they have that little thing at the top of the screen on First Take saying, "But embrace debate." Is that what it says?
Yeah,
it says something like that. But it seems like if it's not ESPN's, if it doesn't fit their narrative, then I guess it's inappropriate. I mean, you know, he never called RG3 a sellout. He never labeled him as that. You understand what I'm saying? He just bought up, it was self-explanatory.
What do you mean self-explanatory? I understand what you mean self-explanatory. What do you mean by that?
No, he was just putting out there what people say outside of ESPN or what he might hear on the streets of D.C. or in a barbershop or whatever. It's just, that's the conversation.
I get what Tex is saying. He's kind of saying that, you know, that it's just, you know, it would just, it's like, you know, you say it's just a regular talk of, you know, what somebody might hear on the street. And I kind of agree with that. I think, you know, ESPN, they kind of, you know, when it comes down to race and sports, they kind of get icky with that, even though that should be, you know, to me, part of a regular dialogue, because that's part of, you know, that's part of society. And we're part of the country, you know. That's part of America. You know, when you look at certain things, race comes up, especially with sports. You know, but my issue with a couple of things that he said was basically, I just had an issue with the way he did it. You know, like I said, going after the girlfriend, you know, mentioning that, and you know, I don't know what that whole Republican thing meant. You know, I mean, to me, that's not, you know, like I said, if you want to, I mean, he kind of stated that is maybe, and it might've came off as maybe more of his, you know, his determinations of what, you know, makes somebody black or something, rather than more of what he heard. But I definitely understand, you know, what he was trying to say. I don't know if he came across right in the way he said it. Sometimes, you know, that it's, like I said, it's a tricky issue, but I think it needs to be tackled. You know, especially by, you know, ESPN, if they're supposed to be the, you know, worldwide leader in sports or whatever. But, you know, it's an issue that comes up. I mean, you look at the NFL, it's a lot of these guys are dating white girls, tell you the truth, and, you know, nobody questions their blackness. You know,
yeah.
I think they said that he made a comment. I think they said RG3 made a comment. Like, I think I got started with he made a comment saying that he doesn't want to be known as a great black quarterback. He just wants to be known as a great quarterback, period. And I don't have any problem with that. I've heard, I mean, to me, when
what's the cat? Man, I'm drawing a blank right here. Not Tiger Woods. What's the quarterback from Philadelphia, black dude? Donovan McNabb. Donovan McNabb said, when he said that black quarterbacks are more heavily criticized than white quarterbacks, and you have Vince Young and Jason Campbell saying that's not something that they worried about, that doesn't affect them. To me, that was more offensive than what RG3 said, especially when you look at that point and look at where their careers have gone since then. You know, neither one of them is, you know, well, Jason Campbell is Vince Young ain't even in the league no more. And he said he doesn't have to worry about that, and that doesn't affect him. But, you know, nobody questions his blackness, but, you know, when the subject was broached to him, it's not something that
in that situation, when it comes to race, I mean, you have to, I mean, in terms of being a black quarterback, you have to play a certain role in a sense of, you know, you can't, I wouldn't be surprised if Jason Campbell agreed with what Donovan McNabb said, but he can't come out and say it publicly, you know. I mean, come on, man. I mean, whatever. They're going to throw it against you. I mean, he has his money on the line.
Like we always said, talent justifies a lot of stuff. I think that if more talented athletes come out and would have spoken about issues like that, it would have changed stuff. Like I said, what could anybody have said to Michael Jordan if he would have came out and spoke out about racial issues? Shut up, Michael Jordan. You're going to tell him to be quiet?
Yeah, but he wouldn't have got McDonald's. He wouldn't have got McDonald's. He wouldn't have got Gatorade. You know, those types of things. Yes, I'm serious. He wouldn't have. Huh?
He still been marketed because everybody loved Michael, though. But trust me,
Nike. He wouldn't have been marketed by no McDonald's or Gatorade or something like
Kobe
that.
Kobe Bryant was accused of rape, and he still had various sponsors. They stuck with
him. Yeah, no, he lost. He lost money. McDonald's. No, he lost. He lost McDonald's, dog. He lost McDonald's. He lost some other family-oriented sponsors. He still had Nike, though. He still had Nike. Because Nike used to having those edgy kind of guys. But I'm
Tiger
just saying. Woods
still has sponsors.
Nike?
Michael Vick.
That's it? Nike?
Michael Vick.
Tiger Woods still has various sponsors. He still got Buick. He still has them shaving people.
He
has
does?
Sponsor.
I didn't know that.
You don't see Tiger Woods
still
racking
the door, too? Kobe still
I didn't know that about Tiger Woods. I thought Tiger Woods got a lot of sponsors dropped from him after that.
I think a lot of these athletes, I mean, I think if you're in a position of power, you got to speak out about stuff. None of that stuff stopped Jim Brown from speaking his mind, and look what, you know, and he did
and
what he wanted to do.
And Charles Barkley, though.
Muhammad Ali, you know, it's certain athletes,
Charles,
you know, if you got to be fearless out there, man. And some of these cats, you know, like I say, nobody ever questioned Michael Jordan's blackness, and I have a lot of questions about some of the stuff that he done.
Oh, yeah.
The guy was outspoken on it. He was kind of the voice of Michael because, you know, he said the things that Michael really didn't say out. But, you know, he still had endorsements.
After his career. He had Nike, but he got a lot of his endorsements was over.
He had endorsements during his career. He was with Nike,
Barkley.
Too.
He was with Nike, but he wasn't getting like McDonald's.
Because
he had Michael Jordan.
Right guard. He had a lot of stuff, man. And he used to say what he wanted to say, well, for the most part. You know,
and he was whacking, and of course he had his shoes. So of course, I mean, it was Michael Jordan.
Yeah,
Michael
and that. It seems like Barkley even got more popular after he said that I'm not a role model stuff. He started doing all those different commercials about that.
Mm.
Yep. I was gonna say.
I mean, it takes gonna take some of these guys. Some of these guys are gonna have to come up, and you know, if that's where they, you know, if that's in their heart to, you know, to say what they want to say, but. You know, I don't think you can hide behind it or play a role. I mean, if you know, if it's an issue, you come out and speak on it. It's
I
not
going to
affect you on the field.
Look at
where Vince Young is now.
Yeah, he's still trying to find, you know, if he's going to ever get back to the NFL or play somewhere else.
Mangle, Twitter and texting people trying to get on teams.
What you got to say, Shutdown?
I was going to add my point about it. I mean, I didn't see when he made those comments, but I read about it. I think he was kind of, I mean, if he had some stuff to say about that, that's something you should keep to yourself. You're not on TV, you know, having, you know, your people, if you felt that way. But I say this, I mean, if RG3, I mean, this is America. I mean, he's a grown man. He can date whoever he wants to be, and he can be whatever he wants to be. If he wants to be a Republican, Democrat, independent, hey, that's his personal business. That's kind of dividing his, you know, privacy. That's his personal life. Has nothing to do with sports, you know, even though it's race. I mean, nah, I mean, hey, he, you know, he, we all know he's black, you know, question his blackness and toughness. I mean, his blackness, I mean, honestly, we don't know him. We just know him from the football field, so we don't know him personally, but still, hey, man, seems like everything, you know, is going right for him and hasn't had no problems, no off the field problems as of yet. So really, hey, I just think he kind of went kind of too far on that, all that other stuff. So.
So you think he went too far? You don't think he should have questioned his blackness, basically?
Exactly. I mean, why he had to question? Why did the topic come up about questioning his blackness in the first place?
Because RG3 made a statement saying he didn't want to be a great black quarterback. He wants to be a great quarterback. So Parker took that.
Yeah, I don't think that's equal to what Tiger Woods said. You know, everybody was saying that Tiger Woods stuff, but, you know, I don't think that's equal to what Tiger Woods said. Not at all.
I agree
and
with
even,
Callie Mike, though.
Even when I look at the Tiger Woods comments, it's like, you know, I mean, to me, that type of stuff really doesn't affect me that much. You know, it's Tiger Woods. I mean, he is mixed. I mean, if the man, you know, I mean, he learned a hard lesson about that to me. But, you know, it's like, I mean, maybe he hadn't learned that lesson up until that point. So he thought he could get away with doing that. But, you know, after a while, you learn that lesson. And, you know, some people, it hits hard to them, you know.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, you know, I don't have a problem. Like, I agree with Mike. I don't have a problem with him saying he wants to be the great, you know, quarterback, the only judge of being black. Like, Warren Moon, when I was listening to stuff, you know, being a mentor for him about Cam Newton, about he's kind of getting tired of, you know, why can't this be a quarterback instead of saying black all the time, you know? And I was listening to that audio not too long ago about that. So
well,
he was
true.
Even
he looked, it's true. Look at Warren Moon. You don't ever hear nobody mention him at list of top quarterbacks, and he's right up there.
Yeah, if you had to look at the numbers, everything, I mean, blows everybody behind
the
wind.
It definitely, like I said, it definitely, you know, it's definitely a subject that does need to be broached, but I don't know if Farkin went around the white ray of doing it, like I said, with some of the things he said, but I wouldn't have a problem with people broaching that subject, like I said, especially on ESPN. I mean, you know, like I said about Johnny Manziel, you know, the fact that he got arrested and that really wasn't on the front, you know, page of every newsstand, you know, when he's up for the Heisman, but, you know, when you had Cam Newton winning, all they could talk about is how he stole laptops. Not got arrested, just got kicked out of school. He's been kicked out of school. This is a scandal. And, you know, everybody wanted to throw that in his face, but nobody was saying nothing about Johnny Manziel getting arrested for something racial. You know, I couldn't believe it. It was, you know, I could believe it. I didn't want to believe it. You know, it was really a low point for me.
Yeah, I learned about that last week when Kelly Mike was bringing up on the show.
Yeah.
I didn't know about that. Also, too, you know, with the Cam Newton thing, they kept saying, is he ineligible? Is eligibility? They was bringing that up, too.
Yeah,
also,
everything. They were trying to crucify him.
Exactly.
No. Interesting. Any comments, Tex? You got any comments on this?
No.
All right, man. Let's move to the next topic here. We're going to talk about the Jets. They lost 2 days ago, Monday Night Football, to the Tennessee Titans. And Mark Sanchez didn't look that good. And they're going to start Greg McElroy from Alabama. Mark says they benched Mark Sanchez from USC, and they're going to start Greg McElroy from Alabama, right, Mike? But what I want to know is should the Jets part ways with Sanchez and Rex Ryan or one or the other? Let me start with you, Callie Mike.
Well, they can't part ways with Sanchez. First of all, they just signed him to a new contract, and the salary cap hit would be $17 million if they did. So, you know, they're going to have to stick around with him. But one thing you can't do is you can't turn the ball over. That's one thing that Rex Ryan said that made sense to me. You know, you can't turn the ball over. Sanchez, you know, as bad as the team was playing, he started turning the ball over, and you can't do that. No quarterback can do that. And to me, that's, you know, that's the one thing, you know, he started doing that made me think that he was going to be benched. All the other stuff about bad play and how bad the team plays, you know, that has to do with that team just being bad. I don't think Greg McElroy is going to come in there and do any better. That has nothing to do with what college went through or anything like that. I just don't think he's a better quarterback than Mark Sanchez. And I don't think if a good quarterback came in there, they could really do that much better. That's just a bad team. That horrible running game, horrible wide receivers. You know, it's not a team that's set up to win. So, but you know, I think that, you know, definitely, like I said, Sanchez, you know, if you start throwing picks, you got to fit. You know, that's all there is to it. You know, so like I said, I don't think Rex Ryan is going to be around next year to deal with it.
Really, you think Rex is out of there, Mike?
You got to. I mean, how far? Like I said, you know, it's one thing to, you know, it's how far can you let guys go now? You know, if you know, Rex Ryan, he's been on this roller coaster ride, you know, in New York with, you know, with Hard Knocks and this and that and everything. You know, it's been a fiasco, and while all this going on, you got the Giants winning Super Bowls, and that's not going to be spent for, you know. So it's only so far you can let a guy take it. Like I said, I mean, I don't know the whole inner workings of what goes on in that franchise or who has control of. Somebody has to, like I said, somebody has to go. Whoever has control of the roster decisions definitely has to go. And like I said, if that's Rex Ryan, then he definitely has to go. And
I think it's Mike Tannenbaum.
He might have to go anyway.
I was going to say, Mike Tannenbaum. I think he might have to be. I think Rex Ryan probably should be back another year, but they got to get, either if they keep him, they got to bring in someone for personnel or vice president or GM to come into this to make something happen. Like, I agree with Cali Mike, though. The Jets are not that good. But I will say this, too. We all know Tim Tebow's not going to be back. And it was reported yesterday. They said, you know, of course, Tim Tebow's going to probably ask to be released or whatever report. And he might end up in Canada or something. They were saying Montreal or something.
Oh, man, that's not going to happen. But hold on. I'm sorry. I just want to show, tell you about a new report that just came out. Sanchez will be – the Jets are going to try to trade Sanchez at the end of the season. That just came out as a news flash. But you can keep going. Shutdown.
I don't think nobody's going to make the trade for him. What are they going to give up? Who's going to trade for him? There's not going to be no first, second-round pick. So they might – the team who does get him, they might give up maybe a sixth-round pick or a seventh-round pick. But why not do that?
I mean, you wouldn't necessarily have to trade him for a pick. I mean, like I say – you know, it has. I mean, the jury is going to be out on Sanchez, honestly. You know, and that's not, you know, being a USC home or whatever, because of what he had to deal with in New York. So I mean, you might get a team like a Kansas City who might not want to use their first pick on a quarterback. You know, I could see them trading, you know, trying to make a trade for somebody like Mark Sanchez, especially after they unload, you know, Matt Castle. So you know, like
they
I said,
made a trade for Matt Castle already, though. But if I was Kansas City, why do that again? They made a trade for Castle, so you know they might have to do something different this time around. But you know that the Jets are trying to get rid.
It's easier to make a trade though, Mike, than instead of drafting a rookie quarterback and
putting your
on a quarterback you're not sure of.
You already know the Jets are planning on getting rather than giving up a draft pick. But I was gonna say that just shows you value about McElroy. That's saying that McElroy is a better quarterback than Tim Tebow. That's how it is. And, like, the Jets pretty much season is over with, so they might as well just see what they got for the future.
I think McElroy's going to be better. I don't even think it means that he's better than Tebow. I don't think Tebow was ever brought there to play quarterback. I think that was a sign.
I think that was management.
Let's see what Tex had to say. Tex, you got something to say about this? You think what should they do? You know, like Jets, should they get rid? Should they clean house? Should they keep Rex and get rid of Sanchez? What should they do?
You do have to clean house. You have to. And opinion is split on Mike Tannenbaum. They have some players. Let's not get it twisted. The Jets do have a few players. Tannenbaum has bought a couple of guys in. But it's not an environment for a quarterback to be planted, cultivated, raised, and nurtured with the defensive coach. I mean, how do they win? They play defense and they run the ball. I think Tannenbaum has to go. I think Rex Ryan has to go. you have to find another quarterback, because while Sanchez hasn't had the best tutors, it's just bad things that he does with the football. You look at the game and it's horrible. Sometimes it's not pressure anywhere, and he's throwing like he's pressured. It's like, where are you throwing the ball? I mean, there are guys open. He's missing guys. I mean, he's shocked. He's not necessarily like Blaine Gabbert, but those three guys, they have to go. Tebow, I mean, what's your problem talking about? Oh, I'll see I'll do at the end. What do you mean? What you gonna do? You think somebody's gonna come for your service? I mean, go model or something. You know what I'm saying? Go model, or go do motivational. Go do motivational speech. Something. Anybody in power knows now that Tim Tebow can't play quarterback in the NFL.
That's all over.
Yeah.
I think he should get a chance.
He's going to have to play a new position because it's not a quarterback.
How do you think he should get a chance? Do you think McElroy is better than him?
Hold on for a second. Hold on. We're going to get into Tebow in a second. I kind of want to get to complete this Sanchez discussion here. I want to get into Tebow in a second here. But now with Sanchez, he has a good playoff record. So, I mean, you can't really say he's a bust. I mean, he did take his team to the playoffs.
Let me say this, though. I was listening to Broadway Joe. He was saying it was a mistake the Jets made of bringing, Tim Tebow in. You know, this was, like, pretty much a critical year for Martin Sanchez. That was, like, a whole distraction knowing that you had Tim Tebow behind his back. Because, I mean, Sanchez, he could have probably got better. He thought that was going to hurt. Sanchez of bringing Tim Tebow in. He just did not get that. And now we might never know what kind of quarterback, Sanchez could have been for the Jets.
I don't think it was that much of a distraction for Sanchez. Like I said, I don't think there was.
Really?
Let me say this. There was never an option of Tebow starting as quarterback for the New York Jets. And I think somebody in the New York Jets told Mark Sanchez that, and he knew that. Like I said, I don't think he was looking over his shoulder wondering, is Tim Tebow going to be starting for him next year? Like I said, I think that was always an option, for McElroy to come in and play. It's like I say, that was a stunt. I don't know what the purpose of bringing him in was to raise the profile of the team or what they were trying to do. But, none of that works. Somebody's got to pay for that. So, I don't think he stunted his growth that much. You can't blame what Sanchez was doing on Tebow being there. He was distraction overall, but he wasn't a distraction because Tebow thought that he was going to come in and take his position. I think he was just a distraction in general. I mean, you could tell after the first couple of weeks that they hadn't brought Tebow in, you could tell Tebow wasn't never going to come in. So. I don't think
what I'm saying is, do you think there's a market for Sanchez? I want to get into Tebow in a second. Hold on. Do you think there's a market for Sanchez?
He's a young quarterback. I mean, you gotta look at the quarterback. I mean, he's a young quarterback. He makes bad decisions, but he's still got an arm. I mean, he can go somewhere and try to restart his career. It's not out of ordinary for somebody to do that. He's only been in the league 3 or 4 years. So, I mean, he's going to be a fourth year quarterback coming in next year. So it's not to say his career is over. I think he has to get out of there though, but they're going to have to try to trade him to the right decision, or it's not going to be cut or anything like that, but they're going to have to try to trade him. And, unfortunately, like I said, unless they can, get an equal trade, I don't think they're going to try to trade him for a pick, because they're on for a lot of his cap, so he has to go the right decision. It might just keep him for another year, and see what happens the year after that. After they can get rid of him free and clear. So, I don't know, but I mean, there's going to be a market for him. I mean, there's a market for most quarterbacks.
Even Tebow? We're going to get to Tebow right now.
I mean, he, like I said, you never, like, you know, like Tech said earlier today, it only takes one team. So you never know. As much as I don't like Vince Young, there might be a team out there that needs Vince Young. So you never know.
I think he's a good shot, too. Okay.
You got Arizona that's going to be looking for a quarterback, too. I don't want to put that out there besides Kansas City. You know, they're definitely going to be looking for a quarterback. That's a wrap, yeah.
Jacksonville, too. Okay. Now,
think Jacksonville better go for a veteran
Jacksonville, you think Gabbert's done?
Yeah, he's going to go for
a veteran. Yeah, I think Gabbert's done.
That's his second year. They gonna probably need to bring in a veteran. They don't need to bring. That'd be a mistake. They draft a young quarterback.
They're gonna have to go. They gotta have to bring in a veteran. Yeah, back. I mean, they haven't improved. There's no improvement with Blaine Gabbert. So I mean, I get rid of him.
You don't necessarily give him a veteran a second year.
I didn't like Gabbert going that high anyway, but, I mean, like I said, that wasn't a team either that was set up for a quarterback to come in, a young quarterback to come in and be successful.
You know,
not that kind of quarterback. I mean, you got to look at it. Everybody's not going to be Andrew Luck. Everybody's not going to be able to walk into a horrible situation and make it look like roses. You know, some of these quarterbacks are going to need a little bit of help, need a little bit of tutor. You know, maybe not need to start him. You know, I mean, this instant gratification thing in the NFL is kind of, you know, it kind of needs to go back to where it was, where you might need, you know, put your starting, you know, your first round quarterback on the bench. You know, like the Bengals did, Carson Palmer, put him on the bench for a year and come back. He's a quality quarterback. You know, I think that needs to come back. You know, everybody's not going to be Andrew Luck and, you know, ready to come in and play.
Exactly. Also, too. You know, Mike Mularkey, their first year head coach there. You know, Jack Del Rio was there last year, so he's like, you know, this is his first year under a new coach, so why would they, you know, saying get another young quarterback? So, I mean, you know, give it some time, but I definitely, you know, say they should bring in a veteran.
Well, it's why do you got to understand, you don't have to bring in a veteran. You can seek out a young signal caller. And you can roll with that if you're evaluating and you feel like what to go. See what I'm saying? The cost of a player or a quarterback taken in the top two or three, I mean, it's not like Sam Bradford and them, where you draft him top three and you give him $50 million. It's not that kind of league anymore. So while the risk is great for the coach, I mean, as far as on the books, I mean, the number is not, you know, it's not a backbreaker. You understand what I'm saying? So you don't have to bring in a veteran. Guys are coming into the end. Yeah, this is Mike, you're right. This, not everybody is going to be Andrew Luck, but I tell you what, man, the proof is in the pudding. These quarterbacks come today. They come out now, they're ready. They're ready to play right off the bat. You look at RG3, you look at Luck, you look at Russell Wilson. Even Tannehill hasn't been horrible. You understand what I'm saying? Kirk Cousins comes in for a game, and the Redskins don't miss him for a game, or miss RG3 for a game. But these guys, these quarterbacks, they're getting ready. I mean, even in high school, they're getting ready for the pro game. So, I mean, you got all these camps, the Elite 11, the Peyton Manning camp. They're getting these NFL principles at an early age. The deciding factor is how they digest all the information and how fast the game moves in accordance with how fast they process the information. You understand what I'm saying? So it doesn't all mean, because you bring in a veteran doesn't mean it's going to push Gabbert. I mean, you bring in Chad Henne. Goodness, and how bad is he if it took an injury to start over Blaine Gabbert? I mean, it's you get the talent, whether it's a veteran or a young guy, but you can go draft another quarterback. I mean, you're paying him 4 years, $20 million, big deal.
Well, hold on. I kind of wanted to I know we kind of went off topic here. I want to get back on it. But I kind of want to get back on this Tebow situation with the Jets. Shottown said, he's going to request for a trade. Like me personally, I thought he should have got an opportunity to at least, you know, see what he can do, you know, for a game. Maybe he may still get that opportunity in the next two games here, you know, if Greg McElroy stinks it up or whatnot. I don't think he'll stick it up, but, you know, if Greg McElroy, you know, doesn't do well. I mean, what's your opinion on that? Do you think the Jets should keep him? Okay. This is what I'm saying. Do you think the Jets should give him a shot between now and the end of the season just to see what he can do, since they're not going to even make the playoffs? What's your opinion on that? Let me start with you, Callie.
You know what he can do. You already know what Tebow can do. Nothing.
I can't.
No, text. Okay, he can't do nothing in the sense of he's not an accurate quarterback. But when he was in Denver last year, he was.
Man, let's stop talking about that. No, he was not good. You keep bringing that up. He wasn't good there, man.
I know he wasn't good, but the team was winning. The point is, it's all about wins. We understand it's all about wins or losses.
How about when you're playing the Bears four-string quarterback or against Christian Ponder, when you're playing all these second and third-string quarterbacks these teams that Tebow was up against and you're winning 13-10, even Champ Bailey comes out and says, wow, it's not so hard to play defense anymore. And as good as they were last year, they're better this year.
I understand that.
Pretty much the same thing. Did you hear that?
Yeah, he threw 46%. You're right.
46%, but
horrible.
Yeah, that's not
bad.
Good.
With a 6.3-yard passing average. Come on, man. let's stop all this Tim Tebow stuff. If you don't want to give Mark Sanchez a chance, why would you give Tim Tebow a chance?
No, we already gave Mark Sanchez a chance. No, not for a game this year. No, you didn't.
He stunk it up.
No.
Talk about Tebow. He came in on Monday night for the play, and everybody was saying how he kind of made it messed up the rhythm for Sanchez because, I mean, he was getting something going, and you put it in, and he made the mistake and then went downhill after that.
Have you ever thought about the possibility that Tim Tebow is actually holding Denver back?
Well, yeah, of course, yeah. I never thought they were going to win a Super Bowl with him playing. I was just trying to say this. When he was in there, they were winning. Just to see if they put him in there, it would look ugly, but let's see if they would win some games. This is all I'm saying. We know he's not going to look good when he plays, okay? Can he win a Super Bowl? Probably not, unless he has a really good offense, a really good defense, and a really good, you know, everything around him. But just to see if they can win
those
last two games.
And a really good quarterback ahead of him.
All right, guys. It's a little off. I mean, the Jets are. I guess Tim Tebow will actually trade it, but the Jets are planning to shop Mark Sanchez in the offseason. It'll be hard to find a taker, but they looks like they plan on shopping him. And apparently, Michael Vick is open to coming to New York, but only if Sanchez is not there. So. That's just a little bit of that.
I heard about that. You watching on Black Sports Online?
They're gonna keep Rex Ryan. Michael Vick be coached by Rex Ryan in New York.
Hey, I think they're going in a whole new direction entirely. I don't think Rex Ryan will be there. I don't even think Mike Tannenbaum will be there.
Oh yeah, he definitely shouldn't be there, Mike Tannenbaum. But
if you go, because you're getting rid of. If, say Rex Ryan is gone, then I'll be. Tannenbaum's not gone either. You know, if you're going, you know, what I'm saying, keep him. I mean, he's in charge of the personnel.
But hold on. I just kind of sense that, like, when I was talking about Tebow, there's some like venom. Why is there such this venom towards Tebow from everybody? Like
it's not a venom. Nobody wants to get the wool pulled over their eyes. It's not a venom, but. I'm not going to sit here and, you know, and let somebody tell me that he's a good quarterback or he should be starting in the NFL when my eyes – I'm not going to let somebody fool my eyes. You know, if I see this guy not doing good, I'm not going to lie to myself and go, oh, maybe he can do it.
He's not a good quarterback just because you might let your daughter date him, okay?
Exactly.
Also,
because he's
too.
A nice, because he's a nice guy and he tries hard and he, you know, he goes to church. Doesn't mean he can play quarterback in the NFL. It trips me out, these people. All he does is win. What? Win what? I mean,
exactly. Win what?
That's fan stuff. All he does is win. You know, I go put my jersey on and scream at the TV. You know, all my quarterback does is win games, but he doesn't. But when he plays New England, he goes 5 of 30 for 90 yards or something.
They got creamed. Also, too, I think it's, you know, it's Rex Ryan's decision. Like I said, management wanted Tim Tebow, but Rex Ryan never won. So, really, you know, he's the coach, and he makes the decisions who starts and plays unless, you know, management tell who, you know, tell him. Obviously, management must not have told him to put Tim Tebow in, you know, to be a starter. So, I mean,
the other reason that there's a venom about Tim Tebow is the fact that we're even talking about Tim Tebow. Why is he always on the subject of every sports show? Do you realize how ridiculous that is? We're talking about like Allen Iverson practice. We talk about Tebow, Tim Tebow. Why are we talking about Tim Tebow?
Well, you know what? I think there's a conservative wing in the media that is funding this. Something tells me. I think there's something.
No, but it's everybody talking about. I mean, think about it. We're talking about it right now. We're talking about Tim Tebow.
He's very polarizing. He's like, you see, like y'all saying he sucks, ooh. He sucks. Everybody says he sucks.
No, it's not about saying. He proved it.
Yeah. I agree with you. He's not a good quarterback. But what I'm saying is, like, you know, they don't like what he stands for. They don't like the fact that he gets all this attention, and he still gets his attention
because
even as a backup quarterback.
He's not good. There's a reason for that.
Because the media liked the guy, like we saying, because he's nice, you know, that guy, what he did in college. But, you know, like they just want to think he's just talking. They just want him to be great at that, but he's not. He's just, like Mike saying, he's not a good quarterback.
All right. Hold on. Let's see what our favorite person has to say here. He's here now. What's good, Wally?
Let me tell you why we talk about Tim Tebow. We talk about Tim Tebow because he is a great athlete. We were just talking about this last week. Not everybody is great at every sport, but it's very rare to have those great athletes. And it's even more rare to have those great white athletes. And Tim Tebow, while yes, he is not your typical quarterback, he is a great athlete, and that's what people are seeing. They're seeing the athlete, and they're saying he is a great athlete. No, he's not a great quarterback, but he is a great athlete. Tim Tebow is somebody you could see shooting basketball with. Tim Tebow is somebody you could see playing hockey. Tim Tebow is somebody you can see racing a NASCAR. Tim Tebow.
He needs to go and do that instead of trying to play quarterback.
I know what you're saying, but what I'm saying to you is they are seeing the athlete Tim Tebow. They're not seeing just the quarterback Tim Tebow. And you cannot say that Tim Tebow is not a great athlete.
But this isn't the NFL. This is the NFL, not the NAL, not the National Athletic League. This is the NFL. It's tons of athletes, like I said.
You're asking
people,
why
like I said,
they
you got,
have
you got
so
Vince
much
Young
attention on them. That's just like in, with all due respect, that's just like in boxing and other things. You look for that great white hope to make the white people be the champion,
yeah,
the Superman.
Yeah, it's a quarterback, though. Most of the quarterbacks in the league are white.
White hope as athletics.
Yeah, but the quarterbacks, I mean, Aaron Rodgers, okay, you can say that, but they're not as athletic as Tebow, you know.
Exactly.
They're like,
Tim Tebow
that's
is
the thing.
An athlete.
I'll give you that. He's an athlete. A professional-level athlete.
He's an athlete, but is he a Michael Vick, though?
No, he's not, obviously
not.
That's not the point.
You're trying to compare him to other people. It doesn't matter whether he's a Michael Vick or a Vince Young. He's an athlete. There's not a lot of white athletes. They may be good at one thing, but that doesn't mean – that's just like, you know, okay, Matt Ryan can throw the ball, but when Matt Ryan comes out of the pocket, he's going to get blasted because he can't run. Tim Tebow, he might not be the best passer, but he can throw the ball, run the ball. He can be fullback. He can be quarterback. He can be wide receiver. He is an athlete.
I get what he's saying. I mean, I guess, too, with all the hype, you know, that next big star they're looking at, they just, like you said, America loves the guy, and they, like I said, they just want him to be great at being, you know, the tension of the quarterback and all that. But, yeah, he's that type of – he has been had that, you know, hype about him since he was at Florida. So, you know.
Okay, Wiley, my point is, Wiley, if Tebow was black, do you think he would be getting this attention?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Mm.
But that's what I'm saying. The majority, I don't want to sound like I'm trying to be discriminatory, but the majority of America is white. And when they look at their athletes, the majority of great athletes are black. So when that white athlete comes along, they love him. And they're going to embrace him, and they're going to raise him up. Why? Because he is someone they can point to their children and say, that's who you can be. They don't point to that black guy because that child looks at that black guy and says, but I'm not black. They look at the Tim Tebows and those people and say, you can be that person because you look just like them. And that matters to those people. And that's why they lift Tim Tebow to the height that he is. That's
so
why Rocky is Rocky.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
I mean, so you don't think, like, his religion or anything like that has something to do with it?
No, that has nothing to do with it. I mean, that's another thing that makes the parent be able to say, and he's also a good man, and he's a Christian man, that it helps them in put those wonderful characteristics of all the athlete plus the spiritual man and all together for them to be able to tell little Bobby, this is what you can be, little Bobby. And that's how they see it, so that he's well-rounded in everything. He's intelligent, he's good-looking, he's a good athlete, and he loves the Lord. You can do that too, little Bobby. And that's why they propel him to be who he is. He is a role model for little white boys all over America.
All right. Tex, you got a comment on that? Tex.
Hey, man, hey. Yo, there it is, man. You disagree with what he just said?
No, I agree with you. I never looked at him as an athlete, but now that I think about it, he is an athlete. He's a professional level. He's an athlete to the point where it's on the same level as some players in the NFL. I mean, is he like Michael Vick? No, obviously he's not. Is he Vince Young? Absolutely not. But is he the best white athlete out there right now in the league? Probably, yeah. I would say so. So, we'll see what happens. Do you think you should get a chance in New York?
Do I think he should get a chance? I don't think he should get a chance in any football team, not as a quarterback. But, you know, that's not for me to say.
All right, hold up.
I mean, he got
Vic
Lozell. You know, he didn't start. He did get a chance on Monday night, and he didn't make the best out of the opportunity.
Okay, so let me ask you guys this. So can we look at Tim Tebow even being drafted in the first round as basically like a hoax kind of thing? Can we look at that as just a giant stunt basically? I think we're all basically saying the same thing as this dude can't play quarterback. You know, he's a good athlete, he can't play quarterback. So can we really just look at the whole Tim Tebow as a whole as the great white hype or the great white hope?
I told you he's little Bobby's role model. That's why he went in the first round. He's little Bobby's role model. He's everything that the white family wants little Bobby to look at and admire. Think of the great white athletes in the world. are in American history, and listen to the story behind them. Think of the story of Tim Tebow 50 years from now.
Yeah, it's going to be a story about it. They might do a movie about Tim Tebow.
Exactly. I mean, you keep talking about how average he is. By the time they finish writing the story of Tim Tebow, he will go down in history as one of the greatest NFL players in history.
How is he kicking so much butt in the SEC? I can't understand that.
He exemplifies those things that they want their children to aspire to.
He was actually kicking butt in the SEC, though. He was dominating.
I mean, look
at
what
they talk about. He was a Heisman Trophy winner, the very first sophomore Heisman Trophy winner. He was a two-time national champion. He was a first-round draft pick. Listen to those types of things. Is that not what you want your child to be?
I mean, heck yeah. I mean, you can't argue on that.
All right. Well, hold on. Okay, I want to shift this a little bit to the RG3 situation, because it seems like RG3 has a lot of crossover appeal. He kind of has a little bit more than Tebow.
They said his jersey, I believe, is the highest selling single season jersey ever now.
So what's the buzz about RG3? Do you think there's some sort of appeal to white America in regards to RG3, Tony Whiteley?
RG3 has that freak element. Everybody likes the freak, that person that just comes out of nowhere and he's like a robot. He can just do everything. He's awesome. The freak. Everybody likes the freak. And RG3 plays the freak role right now. He's that guy that just is just amazing. And you can't explain why.
Well, Tony, what do you think about what Ron Parker said?
Huh?
What do you think about what Ron Parker said on First Take about RG3? What did
he say?
About him being a cornball brother. You didn't hear about him being a cornball brother, and they're wondering if he's really black and this and that, you know, asking
Ooh.
About his girlfriend and if he's a Republican and whatnot.
RG3?
Yeah. Yep.
Whoa.
Yeah, you didn't hear about that?
No, I didn't hear it.
I'm from
Tennessee, okay? I'm from Tennessee. I grew up around all white people, went to an all white high school, and I dated white girls. Why? I didn't have much choice. The same way with RG3. RG3 grew up in Texas. Come on now, Texas.
Texas is still with black people. What are you talking about?
No. Tennessee is full of black people in certain areas. Yeah, you go to Memphis, you can find all kinds of black people. But go to Knoxville, Tennessee, and see how many black people you find.
That's true. Hey,
it's the same way with RG3. You know, he may have grown up in one of those all-white communities. He may have went to the all-white high school. He was the star athlete. He had all the girls. And that's the culture that he grew up in. So he's going to implement his culture. If he talks like a hillbilly, that's because he was raised with hillbillies. If he likes white girls, that's because that's all he knows.
Yeah. Hey, do you know anything about the area where you grew up at?
I don't know nothing about it.
Yeah.
It's a white area.
His dad was in the military, so.
Oh yeah, he did a lot of traveling.
Yeah.
Well, like, what high school did he come out of? What high school did he come out of?
It's a bunch of everything down there though. It's a bunch of everything down there where RG3 come out of. That Waco, that Belton area is a lot of you got white folks, you got black folks, you got Mexicans, I mean
You got a little bit of everything.
The interesting is his girlfriend, she doesn't seem like, you know, she doesn't seem like she's a, you know, a Becky, you know, cookie cutter kind of, you know, not to be offensive. She doesn't seem like that kind of white girl. She seems like a more kind of a down kind of, you know, kind of, you know what I mean? She doesn't seem like, you know, she's a, you know, the you know, the Leave It to Beaver kind of chick.
Well, there is a report.
Like,
actually,
you know, that's what I'm saying. It's harder to judge, you know. I mean, it's, you know, she doesn't seem like she's, you know, that kind of girl, you know. I mean, she, you know, like I said, she seems like she's more hood than RG3 almost, kind of, you know.
Well, you got to realize in a community like that, if you down with the brown, you better be down. Because people going to be all over you, nigga lover, calling you all kinds of sluts, hoes, everything else, because they don't think you should be dating a black guy. So you're going to have to get tough quick if that's what you want to be doing.
Yeah, and her family too. I mean, you never know. Some people in her family might not like that. So she,
well, hold on, there's a
report. Family and all that.
There was a report, actually, that some guy was stalking RG3, and it came out to be that it was RG3's fiance's old boyfriend that was stalking RG3.
White dude or
so,
black dude?
Come on now.
Black dude.
He was
an athlete. He was an athlete at Baylor. He was on the basketball team or something like that.
And he's a black dude?
Yeah, he's a black dude, yep.
See, so like I said, that goes to a little bit towards this girl there. You know, she likes her brother, so, you know.
There you go. She down with the
brown.
Well,
you
this
know,
is interesting.
Come on now. All my brothers over here know how they say it. Once you go black.
Yeah, I got you. We know the rest, man. All right. We know the rest. All right, let's steer the conversation here towards the Bucs here, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I know we live in Tampa, me and you, Wiley, we live in Tampa, and a lot of buzz on the radio about, you know, should they keep Josh Freeman as the quarterback right now? That's the hottest topic in Tampa this week. I kind of want to know what the panels. Yeah, that's on talk radio in Tampa right now. So, what's your opinion? Do you think the Bucs should keep him, or should they try to draft another quarterback in this upcoming draft? Let me start with you, Tex. What you have to think about that?
My goodness, hold on. In Tampa, they talking about whether or not they should get rid of Josh Freeman.
No, this is talk radio. Talk radio. This ain't the Bucs has officially came out with a statement. This is talk radio. This is based off of the previous game. I mean, he hasn't really been playing good these past two games. And they're like, you know, he has good numbers. He has good numbers this season.
Josh Freeman he's had two bad games this year. That's it. Josh Freeman has rebounded from last year. He's played pretty good. You got him, Doug Martin. You had two of the very best O linemen overall in the NFL go down with injuries. I mean, what more do they want from Josh Freeman? And he's not great, but the guy he rebounded. I mean, and even I mean, goodness. I mean, do people understand how good he was before the Saints game? I mean, what I bet you he doesn't have 13 picks this year. He probably has.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't.
He has close. How many does he have?
I think he has like 25 to 10 or 11 picks.
He's matching two games ago. He's matched his career high in touchdowns. His turnovers went down. I mean, goodness, without this Saints game, he's been a damn good quarterback.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to let this culture that the new coach is implementing take place. The Bucs' problem is the pass defense. But goodness, no, you shouldn't get rid of Josh Freeman. He's shown that he can play. 2 years ago, he had a bad season last year. He showed he can bounce back. Now it's all about maintaining a level of play. New challenge. Nah, you don't let Josh Freeman go. Now maybe you might want to ask that if in 2013 he regresses. If he shows regression, now you're asking that question. But nah, now's not the time with your two best O linemen missing. Nah, you don't do that right now. No way, man. You know how hard it is just to find a decent quarterback?
What's your opinion on this, Cali Mike? What's your take on this?
I agree, man. It's, you know, these people nowadays, it's, you know, it's so, with, you know, with talk radio and Twitter, it's so wishy-washy, man. I mean, think about all the comments we've seen this year. We've seen folks say that the Texans should get rid of Andre Johnson. I've seen folks say that at one time that the Lions should get rid of Matt Stafford. Then at another time they should get rid of Calvin Johnson, who's about to take all conferences this year. You know, it's, I mean, now you said, you know, now folks saying they should get rid of Josh Freeman. I mean, sometimes people can get kind of out of control. I live in an area like that, you know, in a smaller town where we got a big talk radio presence, and, you know, we hear cats on the radio all day just saying wild stuff. You know, that's always somebody's excuse, you know, whenever there's a loss, or, you know, if it's somebody really doesn't like, oh, let's get rid of them. And, you know, then you kind of hear like a little bit of rumbling start about that, even though, like Tech said, Josh Freeman is a good quarterback. I mean, he regressed last season. You know, I don't know if he's going to – after his rookie season, I thought that he was going to be much better at this point. I don't know if he's ever going to reach that point that I thought he was going to get. I thought he could be an elite quarterback after his rookie season. But, I mean, you never know. Like I said, he's playing, you know, it's a season. You got to look at the season. You can't just go two games, oh, this dude stinks, we got to get rid of him, you know? And, like, you know, this is a team that's been dealing with a lot of injuries. They got new players. I mean, you know, I can't get rid of Josh Freeman for who? And draft somebody? Really?
Yeah, that's what they're talking about now.
That's what's going on in Tampa? Yeah, them cats want the Bucks to go back to the Yucks, obviously.
Queen Signature.
Hey, Wally, what you got to do? Okay.
Well, to be honest with you, you know what I think it is? It's the fact that we have blocked out all the games this year that Tampa's played, and the two or three games that we did get to see, he did bad in. So because the only perception they have of him is what they seen when he played against New Orleans and against Philadelphia, that's the only two games that we got to see in Tampa, because they blacked out all the other ones. And because they blacked out all the other ones that he did good in, the only perception they have of him is what he did when he did bad, and perception is reality. So because perception is reality, he sucked the two times I saw him. We need a new quarterback.
Mm-hmm. That's a very good point.
I mean, Wiley, do you think they should try to get rid of him based on your theory? Your theory is if he ain't winning, he sucks. Like, Peyton Manning sucks. So what's your theory on Josh Freeman?
No, I don't. I'm not a necessarily individual. I'm all about the team. You can't put a win or a loss on one person. Even if it was a bad play for that one bad play, there was 10 other plays during the game that should have made that bad play not even need to be done. I'm a team person. I'm not about an individual person. That's why I don't care about stats. And that's why I say winning and losing is what matters. The team is losing. He is not losing. The team is losing. So you have to focus on all the areas of the team that's losing. You can't just focus on one area. Okay, the running back is doing great, but obviously that offensive line is not giving him enough time to do what he needs to do as a quarterback. You got to focus on the team. You can't just say he's not doing what he needs to do, because there's somebody that's supposed to be protecting him for him to be able to do what he needs to do.
The Bucs' O-line has played well, considering they don't have Davin Joseph and Carl Nix. I mean, they've –
Well, that's what I'm saying. Whatever the reason why their O-line is missing people, the point is it's because of those missing elements that he is having his problems. But people don't want to see the big picture. They just want to individualize and start knocking on people.
I agree. Like, the media, they be doing that. But I would say, yeah, I mean, it's probably that tough because – you know, it's Greg Schiano's first year, you know, and I guess it's not his quarterback since he was there before he got there. But, I mean, he's still a young quarterback. I mean, he's had some games. I wouldn't get rid of him, but I agree with Tex. If he started showing some regression next year, then maybe that's when you
looking the other direction, because, I mean, you did miss the first round picking him, and this is his third year, right? Yeah, this is, you know, year three, so next year is going to be year four, so you might as well see where it goes. It's just, you know, like we were saying earlier, the success of, you know, quarterbacks like Andrew Luck, RG3, like these rookies coming in, they expecting too much for everybody to do it, you know, and like you said, everybody's not Andrew Luck. Or RG3.
He would have to show a major regression for me next year to think about. I mean, the cat, like you said, the cat got 25 touchdowns this year. That's not, you know, that's good. I mean, you know, he got, you know, two or three games left. So, I mean, you know, come on. That's, you know.
And also,
he can end up with 30 touchdowns that we're talking about getting rid of him.
I don't think that people care about fantasy football, but if you look at fantasy football, Vincent Jackson? Ain't that his name? He's like the number two or three receiver in fantasy football, which means he's getting a lot of yards, a lot of touchdowns, and a lot of catches. That ain't coming from God.
But he's the number three
receiver in the league, and without getting the ball thrown to him.
I understand what you're saying, Tony, but he's not that high. He's not the second or third ranked fantasy wide receiver. But I understand what you're talking about, though.
Yeah, I mean, he's in the top 10.
Yeah.
You got to realize there's
He's having a big season. His yards per catch is like, I think he's around 20 yards per catch right now.
I think the Bucks re-signed him too. I think to a good deal.
And he can't be doing good if the quarterback ain't hitting.
They might need more of a receiver, though. I don't know what's going on with Mike Williams this night. But maybe they need to get a good possession receiver in there for, you know, for shorter yardage.
Exactly.
It seems like everything they're doing is long bombs.
No, I think they need to go out to Milner, man. They need to go get Milner, man. That's what they need to get.
Across the middle person.
They need Milner, man. They need a DB, yo. That's what they need to go out there. They need to trade up and get Milner, man. That's what they need to do. Mark Barron and Milner in the secondary, man. That's Alabama right there. So, but it's whatever.
Barron has been kind of – he tailed off. He been tailing off since about the middle of the season.
I agree with that. He's been tailing off. I will agree. He's been tailing off. I give you that. Let me ask this question here about Adrian Peterson. Do you think – Yeah, I think we had an argument. Do you think it's going to happen? Do you think he's going to break that record?
I told you, Eric. MVP. Didn't nobody else on here say it? I'm telling you, AP all day, MVP.
But Wiley, do you think he'll break Rick Dickerson's record?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. He's got two more games to get 219 yards. He got 200 yards in the last game.
I think it's 290 yards, isn't it?
It's 270.
He got 200 yards in the last game. He will break it in two.
Everybody's
games,
gonna be trying to stop him these last two games, man. It's gonna be hard for, you know. It ain't gonna be a walk in the park, man. Everybody's gonna be going for him.
It's gonna be run left, run right, run up the middle.
They
gonna try to help him get that record. They going to do everything they can to give him that record.
So who the Vikings play? I know the next two games of Vikings is pretty tough, though. They got a couple, like, who they play the next
two
games.
I think they play the Titans Sunday, don't they? Somebody like that.
No, they got the Packers the last game of the season.
Oh, okay.
That'll be
pretty tough, too, trying to go into Green Bay looking for 150-plus yards.
They play the Ravens this week. They play the Texans this week.
That's what I'm saying, the Texans. I meant the Texans. I said the Titans.
I mean, yeah, Texans and then the Packers.
So, they got a tough stretch with those two.
That's two tough guys to get 300 yards.
But come on, Adrian Peterson been doing it against tough people all year. They ain't stopped him yet.
Yeah, if he gets the record, he'll be the MVP, I think. I think he'll be the MVP. But if he doesn't get the record, I think
he'll be a co-MVP because Peyton Manning's getting the MVP.
That's not happening.
Even if Peterson breaks the record?
Johnson didn't win MVP when he almost broke the record, so you never know.
You know, quarterback, I mean.
There's no way I can give Peyton Manning MVP over Tom Brady. Tom Brady, did you see that 38-3 comeback? Come on. Peyton Manning ain't going to do that. I mean, yeah, they lost, but he came back from 28 points down in the second half.
Yeah, well, I mean, hey, Mike, if that's them boys, my AFC pick team, man, they would have came would have won that game, man. I think it would have broke your Niners spirit, man.
Manning. Manning
has a big comeback victory, too.
24-11. I'm not a big Tom Brady fan. And I thought, I was just thinking after that first half, I was thinking, man, I did not see them just blasting this team like this. And they came all the way back. I was shocked.
I mean, well, I was like,
wild, too. Well, it wouldn't have been close if Niners wouldn't have made mistakes early on. Wouldn't have been that close if Niners don't make mistakes early on and shoot themselves in the foot.
Hmm.
I was shocked.
All right.
I had this game on the radio. Like, what mistakes you talking about in that game, Jamal? Like, what kind of mistakes the Niners were making?
Just in the beginning, they turned Delanie Walker fumbling the ball, turning over, just not doing the right thing, you know? And they kept punching New England in the mouth. They just couldn't convert. Should have been after the first 7 minutes, it probably should have been 21-0.
I bet you today Tom Brady is feeling that sack my LB put on him. Ray McDonald smacked him.
Hold on. We don't have too much time left. I want to ask you, Wiley, the last questions that I asked a little bit earlier. Do you have a top three players in the NFL draft who you would want right now? Do you have a off the top of your head, who would you want as your top three players to be drafted?
Oh, wow. That's a tough one. That's a tough one because there are a lot of really good players. I would have to go – oh, my gosh.
I got one more question following up on that, too. And
go
then
ahead.
We're going to end the show. Okay.
It's
a completely off topic. It's about the Rob Parker – RG3 situation. What's your opinion? Oh, well, we already asked you that, didn't we? I'm sorry.
He didn't know about it. I cannot believe he said that, though. That is just amazing. On national television?
Yeah.
He got suspended for that, too. He apologized today, they said, but, you know, hey, man, possibly because I thought they were making that comment. I thought they probably wouldn't bring him back for that, you know?
That's a crazy comment. That's a crazy comment.
That kind of thing before in the past already. He did that and he got fired before from a newspaper in Detroit.
Yep.
No, he got fired for saying that. He got fired for saying Kirk Cousins was at a was in a fight or something, and he wasn't in a fight. He was somewhere else, and he got fired for just saying something false to the media, basically.
But it was something else, or maybe he got suspended.
It was something else I saw too. They said he said something controversial. Yeah. I got to go back and look, but I remember when I first heard about this, they were talking about that.
Exactly, yeah.
Well, anyway, we're about to wrap it up here. Let's anybody has any final comments here? Let's go one by one. Let me start with you, Tex. You got any final comments?
Not really, except for Bama's going to beat the brakes off of Notre Dame. And we're going to see about this man T.O.
All right, Callie, Mike, what's your final comment?
I haven't heard of Milner before this season. I don't see how he's all American. I definitely don't see how he's a top 20 or even really a first round pick. He's like I said, he's not even a Drake Kilpatrick. I thought he was overrated to get drafted that high. This draft, I don't know. I think this is really going to be kind of a weak draft, really. I don't know. Look at it. It's going to be defensively strong, and it's going to be boosted by mostly underclassmen. So it's going to be interesting to see. I was talking to Tex. I'm going to try to get together a top 10 list that I'm going to post on the CMT Facebook website.
Definitely.
My top 10 potential picks.
All right. Shot Town, you got a comment?
Hey, Mike, were you kind of worried about your Niners when the Patriots were coming back? You thinking like, oh, man, it's one of them. What was your, Mike?
No, I wasn't. I wasn't worried about anything. I knew the Niners had it in the bag all the time. Now let's move on.
That was a crazy game, though, Mike.
All right, Wiley, you got a comment? You got a final comment?
The Chicago Bears will not make the playoffs.
I'm taking the one game at a time. The way he's looking, hey. We don't have an offense. Our line,
They will not make the playoffs. Everybody was talking about how good they were at the beginning of the year. Them boys are like a star that just lost its balance. They gone.
Yeah, man. It looks like Levy Smith might be out, yo.
I mean, but he could be. He could be.
All right, my final comment is, yeah, if Alabama has the focus, they have to do what they need to do. Don't be humble, and they should be able to take care of business. I think D. Milner is going to be a future All-Pro in the NFL. I think the Tampa Bay Bucks. I think the Tampa Bay Bucks would be very wise to try to trade up and get him in the first round. Yes.
To
try to get D. Milner in the first round.
Is he Deion Sanders or Rob Woodson?
Of course.
No, but
he's a perennial Pro Bowler. He's like Asamoah. He's going to be like a better version of Nnamdi Asamoah. Let's just put it that way.
Better?
He's going to be a better version of Nnamdi Asamoah. Let's just put it that way. So,
man, that's a lot, man.
That's what I would trade up and get him.
We all just heard Clausell fall and bump his head.
He's on bath salts. He took some of them bath salts under the bath and started smoking them.
All right, man. Hey, we will be here next week, though, to talk a little bit more football. So check us out next Wednesday. Merry Christmas. CMT Firestorm. Peace out.
Peace, y'all. I guess next week.
It's the sport of kings, better than diamond rings.